Hey, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of 8-Bit Geeks 8-Bit Horror Fest 2024 and Film Edition. So we are, how to put this lightly, we fucked up. So we were going to watch a movie, and it was on Shudder, and now it's not on Shudder, and therefore we did not watch that movie, and we did not come up with a... We all dragged our feet, and it was like the night before we were going to record, and no one had watched it yet, and then we went to watch it, it wasn't there, and then we just kind of were like, fuck it, let's just do something else. And so, thankfully, our friends over at Secondary Heroes recorded an episode for us. They are reviewing 2014's Australian film Babadook.
Woo-hoo.
So that is what's going to follow after what?
Just saying, the gay
Duke,
icon.
Duke. Oh, Bob, yeah. Duke. Yes. Yeah. Again, I don't know what year that hit Netflix, but I feel like that's really when it kind of took off here in America, especially the whole, like, kind of the gay icon thing, which those memes and shit were so funny when it came out, just because it was like, yeah.
Yeah, I see it.
I see it. I see it. But we're going to let them take it away. If you are a Patreon subscriber, go over to our Patreon. We are going to have a special edition of 8-Bit Geeks 8-Bit Horror Fest, where we're just going to talk about the things we enjoy about the genre and our favorite movies and things that scared us and all that fun stuff. So go check that out. Otherwise, take it away, Secondary Heroes.
I am inevitable.
Your hands? That's like a baby's toy.
I'm totally Batman.
Oh, man! Oh.
Shh. Communing with the Earth Spirits.
Welcome to California, bud.
Cowabunga.
The world of magic.
And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book. It's the
Babadook Dook Dook.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 80 of the Secondary Heroes Podcast. This week, we participate in the 8-Bit Geek Horror Fest for the second year in a row. This year's theme is foreign horror films, and we're talking the Babadook. This is your host, Trevor, and joining me as usual is...
Hey, guys, it's Prague.
I'm a scaredy pants. This is DeLorean Wolfgang. DeLorean Wolfgang. Wow, can't even say my name. Woo.
I thought it was the Babadook.
It's the Babadook.
That's what you were.
Oh my goodness. Wow. What a fun night I had with this movie.
Yeah, how many times did you have to pause it with the baby?
Oh, I had to pause it a few times.
Okay.
Yeah. I even put in my notes, baby starts crying. Tough to watch when baby is crying. Yeah, no, it was her bedtime, and I'm like, oh no, she'll be fine, and then glasses being sprayed, and people are screaming, horror movie stuff, you know, the
usual. I'm gonna say, it sounds like a horror movie, this is great.
Sounds like a horror movie.
Having a baby, yeah, sounds like it. So this is our second year in a row of doing this. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy horror movies. This is the first year, though, that we're doing a foreign horror film, and I was kind of hoping we were going to pick something that was a little more gruesome and grotesque and horrific, and
this is what happens when you let Alex decide, because Alex has that basic that he can't read, so we need to pick something. And in case you're unfamiliar, before we get too far, The Babadook is an Australian film.
So it's foreign.
it is technically foreign, but their language is
English
not very
language.
Different.
No.
But their language is adorable.
Yeah, we'll give them that. Yes.
No. And I think I chose it because I had seen it years ago and I was like, okay, I think I can endure this movie again.
Okay.
And then I realized...
I can't.
That I don't know if I liked it again.
Yeah. I've never seen this movie, so I did appreciate the selection.
No, it's actually...
It was nice to watch a movie I hadn't seen before.
Yeah, okay. There we go. Cool.
Last year, we talked about Poltergeist Remake, and that was fun in its own fun ways.
Oh, it was fun to tear it apart. So please go back and listen to that episode, because that was a good episode there.
Yeah. Yeah, I always like tearing apart a movie.
So
the
question is, are we
tearing apart Babadook?
Ooh. I have a feeling you guys are going to be looking at this movie differently than I am.
Most likely.
Because like I said in our secondary shorts this week, or this past week, is I've been doing a lot of research and kind of seeing what it all is about and why things are happening the way that they're happening in the movie. So the first time I watched it, I was like, oh my God, this is either annoying, stupid, or just scary just to be scary. But anyways, I'm very excited to hear what you guys have to say.
Do we want to start with overall opinions? Like big structure themes of the very basis of what the movie means? Or do we just want to go in order of the film and just be like, it started with the crash dream sequence?
No, I think we should just go around just briefly and kind of be like, hey, what's your general opinion before we start diving into it? That way we have a baseline for what we're going to be talking about.
Also, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen The Babadook, it's not available to
pause
stream.
It, watch it.
It's very sad.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, totally spoilers all over the place on this. So, yeah, we're pretty much going to not break down the movie, but we're going to talk about it, what our thoughts are.
Cool.
Whatever.
Who wants to start?
Not it.
Okay. I guess I'll go. I think that this movie has an interesting premise with great character design, but overall, I kind of hated it.
You hated the movie? Wow. Okay.
But I will say that I hated most of the movie, but I really enjoyed parts of the movie.
Okay. I'm guessing we'll get to those parts.
Yeah, yes. I guess I would probably grade it like a C. You know, like it wasn't like the worst movie I've ever seen or anything. It just, I don't know. Wasn't for me, I guess. Yeah.
Trevor, your thoughts?
I was surprisingly entertained. Like going into it, I was like, okay, this is really going to be bad. And it wasn't. So it goes into that whole idea of expectations before a film to define your opinion of it, where your opinion is constantly in flux and it's dependent upon outside sources rather than the material itself.
Good call.
Whoa.
That's for sure.
I might need to break that hole down. Jeez.
But I thought it was fun.
Yeah. So, and myself, after doing the research that I did before watching it, because I watched it when it first came out. A secondary viewing. I watched it back in 2014 when it first came out. And I didn't appreciate it the way that I did this time. I appreciated it more with the research that I did, because it kind of broke down, like I think I said it already, that it really breaks down certain like mental health and stuff like that. Like it's a whole like look at a person's mental health in a way. Well, yeah. which I'll dive into more, obviously. I know that I'm being very vague right now, but yeah, I enjoyed it, but I can't relate a lot to it. I'm Mr. Happy, Mr. Positive. And don't say not yet. Oh my God. Don't say that.
That's definitely terrible bad luck that I wouldn't wish upon anyone.
That was some dark stuff. I like it.
Well, I mean, it is. It here's the thing that I liked about it. It wasn't like a horror, like a Freddy, Jason, like, oh my God, let's slash each other's heads off and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah,
like it was
a
more like
movie.
Mental thing. Like you don't see the Babadook throughout the whole movie. He's just lurking in the shadows a lot of the times, and it's very eerie and creepy. And that to me is almost scarier than having your killer in your face the whole time.
See, I would say that, yeah, this is more of a what they call psychological horror versus, say, a slasher film. You know, there's different types of horror films. This is a psychological horror.
Yes.
Is what it is.
So keep that in mind before you start viewing it.
Yeah, don't go in there thinking, oh my God, the Babadook's going to go around town slashing people
right.
up.
Babadook, he's not Freddy. He doesn't invade your dreams or whatever.
No.
Well,
Does he? No, he doesn't know.
No, no. This is an Inception. There's not multiple meanings to the ending, and it's unclear.
True. All right.
So should we get into? Yeah, let's break down.
So I'll just say right off the bat, the reason why I didn't really like this movie is because I think for the first, I was watching how much time had gone by in the movie. So I realized the movie was only an hour and a half long. I went, wow, this is actually a surprisingly short film. And I'm watching this movie and I'm like, nothing has happened for a long time. I wonder what's going on. I looked at how long the film was going and it's been like 35 minutes and literally not a single thing has happened.
Well, like, hold on.
All right.
Because the Babadook's book comes out at the 12-minute mark. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
So, not much happened. I was like, all right, where is this Babadook? I want to see. Like, I've seen pictures of it. It's notorious. I mean, everyone knows what it is because it's been in memes and everything. And it's been on the internet for a long time. So I knew what it looked like. I'm like, okay, where is this? I want to see this thing. Like, I think about 40 minutes is when we get the first kind of like real sighting of him in the closet. In the neighbor's house, I believe. It sounds like 40 minutes into this movie, and I'm like, I already hate the two main characters. Like, I hate them. I'm like, oh my god, I hope they get killed by this thing.
You hated the mom, too?
So, not until the third act. In the third act, when she, like, became the Babadook, fantastic acting.
Yeah.
But, like, those first 40 minutes were just unbearable.
Dude.
Well, she has to be super nice, because they have to create the juxtaposition of what happens.
From both parts are the kid's part. Absolutely
probably the worst
phenomenal.
Child performance of
no
all time.
No way, you're, dude.
Oh my god,
break.
That kid! Please, never again have that kid in a film. Please,
I feel like that kid acts like that all the time
in real life. Yeah. It was like it looked like he kept looking at someone like off screen and like going, "Oh, now I scream like this because I do that all the time." Like,
well,
oh
no, he
god.
Was looking off screen because he was supposed to be
I
looking
know, it was
at
like the
Babadook.
I know,
and we're not seeing
terrible.
The Babadook.
The Babadook's holding up cue cards off screen,
probably.
Hey, dude, scream now.
I think
your
lot
mom's
of it
gonna
was,
hate this.
So a lot
kick
of it
her chair,
too
kick
with,
her
with
chair.
The mom's performance. You see how I'm just talking over him?
Yeah.
So the mom's performance, like, it wasn't so much that she was having to go from happy to, you know, possessed by the Babadook at the end. I think she was. It was such a sleepy performance because she was always like tired. Her eyes were always hanging, and I was like, and I was watching it kind of late at night too, so I was like really tired, like. I don't know. It was just not much about the characters I cared about because I didn't know like her backstory with her. Like if we had had some kind of flashback to like a relationship with her husband or something like that, I think I would have been more like emotionally invested, like where the kid like missed his dad and had scenes where he like really missed his father, something to give me an emotional
backstory.
Attachment to these.
See, but that I was had, the thing yeah. is there was the kid had no relationship with his father.
Oh, that's
the
true,
kid
huh?
was
born
the
died.
Day his father
that.
Died in the car crash.
Because we hear early on, the kid says, "My dad's in the cemetery." Like he literally throws that line out.
That scene in the thing, yeah. Which is kind of weird.
Because like, then okay. they use it as an excuse later in the film that he's just, oh, don't worry, he just says what he thinks.
Right. So
just like
it's,
his
it's
dad
not that
did.
I, it's not like I like the concept of the film. I just don't think it was boring to me the first 40 minutes or so. Like to the point where I was like, I didn't want to, like, if I didn't have to watch this for the show, I would have turned it off and never watched the rest of
really?
It.
Really? I was quite intrigued because I liked the whole idea of the bigger picture. Like, I felt like the premise was kind of obvious.
Oh, it was painfully obvious. I'm like, oh, it's obviously a manifestation of her grief that's trying to kill her.
Well, grief.
Makes sense.
And
yeah. Okay.
Depression and bipolar disorder.
Everything.
And being a single mom and the plights of that. It's a whole kind of societal complaints, everything.
Right. And I don't want to watch somebody go through that. Like, I just don't care.
I thought that's your kind of thing.
Right.
When you watched Joker,
you
said that was totally your type of movie.
Yeah, you're a psychological type of guy who... Oh
you love
God.
People having a mental breakdown on screen. That's your thing.
I don't know. I
it
see
wasn't like she
a
was having.
Now.
I don't know. Maybe that wasn't my problem with him. Maybe I just hated the actor who played her part. I don't know. Or maybe I hated the kid. There was something about. Oh, one thing that really bothered me too was the editing in the first half. So the second half, the editing gets really good with the sound design and stuff. It was fantastic. But the first half, you have scenes where like. That guy from work comes over to like
okay.
you know, bring the kid give a car a book or whatever the hell the plane
it was like
plane.
A plane yeah
Right. He comes in, he hands him the thing. The kid has a fit, and you cut to another scene in the basement. I'm like, what just happened? Is the guy still here? Is he like waiting for them while they're in the basement having this scene? I'm like,
and that's
everything
the thing.
Keeps
you never see that
no
character
reason.
Ever again either.
No, it's like the.
Should we just start terrible. From the beginning so people know what we're talking about? I have a feeling people have no idea what we're talking about.
I thought they were going to use Robbie as like a new love interest, like a Sleepless in Seattle.
I thought he would have died. Like, I thought maybe like she would have killed him or something, you know, like, oh, you're not my husband. Let me kill you. And not even that happened. It was just a throwaway character, throwaway scenes, like nothing in the first.
I will 100% agree with you that his character was an absolute throwaway character.
And he
like,
didn't
there was
need
no
to be.
Reason.
That's
he
what's so
need
weird. They set it up for him to actually have relevancy, and then they're just like, screw it, this is a two-person like play, and whatever.
And 90% of the movie is pretty much inside their house.
Yeah,
so
they should have made
100%
of the movie in the house, and it would have been better.
It could have been.
They should
have. Easily could have been. But they had to have the sister and the niece. They had
to
show
her
how
well, they
awful
have to show her resign from
are.
Society.
Of right. course, yeah.
And that also nobody's on her side. You get to the point where she calls to the cops and they're like, you're stupid. And then she talks to her sister, you're stupid. Why don't you call the cops? So there's no one there to help her. So now she has to take it on by herself.
Right. Which
in classic horror movie trope fashion.
But it also could, I mean, that could happen in real life. Like people probably like if you. I don't want to say it. If there is someone in your life that is, I don't know how to say it. I don't.
If there's someone in your life who says that a random book came to their house and now the character in that book is possessing them and the book came back. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, you probably would be like, okay.
All right, sure.
Well, but that's the thing is she doesn't even say that to her sister. She says, I think someone's stalking me. And the sister says, I don't have time for this right now. You need to deal with your own problems. Stop getting people like me to help you.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, hold
her
on.
Her sister definitely, we could have gone into a relationship of how much her sister's hated her entire life. And this is just a manifestation of that.
That too. Yeah.
Well, the sister doesn't hate her. The sister hates her kid. And she even says it in the movie. She goes, I don't come over because I don't like your kid.
Yeah, who does?
Nobody. No one does.
So, and that's the funny thing is like the whole, so the first time I watched
not even
the movie,
at the end, like even when he's happy, I'm like, I really don't care. You're still annoying.
I think
so. The first time
it would have been
watched
a better movie if Babadook killed the kid. Like when he was all bloody and dead and there was just a vision that she had, I was like, this is good.
Oh, that was wild. That was a wild scene. But here's
just
the
as
thing,
good
it's
when
like,
she told him to eat whatever, you know.
That kid, the first time I saw the movie, that kid was super annoying, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh my god, this kid is awful. And yes, he has just awful points the whole time, but what kid isn't awful? But during the movie, when the Babadook becomes like a part of the world after they read it, all he's doing the entire movie after that point is trying to save her. Like,
yeah,
he's trying to
film.
He literally stabs her in the leg.
Well, because
if your kid ever stabs you in
the
leg, it's too late.
He even says, you're not my mom.
It doesn't matter, okay? You do not stab your mom in the leg, no matter who they're possessed by.
This is going to be a quick episode if we're just bouncing all over the place. We're like at the end. We're going back to the beginning.
Why not? The movie's a mess anyways.
The movie is a mess. Because if you go back to the start, though.
Yeah, thank you. Do this. Yes.
Yes.
The start.
Back to the start. Where we go. It starts with the crash dream sequence because everything is based on that point in her life. She's literally been frozen in time for 6 years. That's how all of her mental health issues have developed, is because she lost her husband on the day that her son was born. And so her son, she never gave the full attention to because she's not present there. And so I think that's why he's developed some type of ADHD disorder or something like that. There's some connection to that. And so the entire relationship and movie is based on that dream sequence that she falls into a couple times throughout the movie at the most important points. But then also right at the start of the movie, the kid says, I'll kill the monster when it comes. And so now the movie's already established that it's a monster movie, and the son is going to play the pivotal role in defining how that monster is taken care of. So in the first 5 minutes, you've seen the entire movie, and now it's just a matter of it playing out and introducing the dude with the top hat.
Well, and I like the fact that they go through this ritual every night where the mom takes the kid through, look into the wardrobe, look under the bed, let's do all the things where monsters would hide out, and then let's read a book about monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she reads the book about this scary werewolf that is eating people or something.
Yeah.
But or whatever, the three little pigs,
yeah, the big,
you know,
bedwolf
prevail. Story. Yeah. Which, and the visuals in the book are terrible. It's awful. It's scary stuff. Sure. For a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old, that's scary.
Mm.
So you just went around the entire room. Yeah. Anyways. So, and this kid loves magic. The kid loves magic. He loves to create like catapults and like guns that shoot darts and stuff like that. Like, he's an inventive kid and whatnot. So he's
part monster hunter, part magician. He hasn't really decided his career path yet.
Yeah, that was my dad. I'm like, why?
Pick he one. Was kind Come of on. All over the place. But
makes sense. The script was. So yeah.
But yeah, so he'll be at the grocery and he's performing magic for just random people. And then the random people are like, oh no, he's sweet. He's cute. And the mom's like, no, we need to get out of here. And says something about a dad. And then the kid says, my dad's in the cemetery. And then the mom whips, like pretty much shoots him a look and says, don't say so. And the entire movie, she's shooting him down. Every time that he says anything that is weird or just different in any which way, the mom's constantly shooting him down.
Well, also with that in particular, though, it doesn't mean anything to him when he says that. And it means
right,
everything
he has
to
connection
her.
To that.
Yeah.
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 And she's just trying to bury it and not think about it.
And she even
mentions
that. That's
not a way to live through life. So maybe the Babadook is actually a healing agent.
Mm.
Honestly, it could be. Yeah.
Anyway, so where do we go from here?
Well, you do have the fun obsession with abrupt, sudden, sharp sounds. Like, it's within the first 10 minutes. They do these weird, like, here's the water dripping.
Sound
here's
editing.
Some,
yes.
Yeah, it's like, I was like, this is going to come back later in the movie when the Babadook's actually doing stuff. And it did, and I've never been a fan of sharp sound cuts.
Yeah,
it's like a lazy horror.
A lot of
thing.
Weird. There's a lot of weird editing in this movie. It was jarring, like at times, like to the point where I was like, "What is happening?"
It has those Blumhouse style jump scare cuts too, where they cut frames from the film and the Babadook moves around and it makes it scary.
Ooh. Yeah, it's that old timey look.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blumhouse loves those old timey.
I'm not sure if he was supposed to be. I mean, scary. Like, the Babadook alone is not a scary entity. Like, when I look at it, he's not that scary. But
it's creepy.
I feel
that's his design.
No, it's creepy, but I don't.
Sure.
I think everything behind him and what he's, you know, about and how he's trying to exploit all of the grief and all that stuff from the woman, that is, like, I don't know. It was weird how he was doing it. Anyway, we'll get to all that when we get to those parts.
One of the creepiest parts itself is the book. The book design that has these ornate pop-ups with actual animations. This, like one
hand-made.
Of the highest production books ever created in the history. Like, how is it animated in real time in a pop-up book? Seriously, this publisher needs some extra money.
Well, it was made by a grief demon. Of course it's going to be.
All those special effects.
But I will say, and I said this earlier, that the movie is very beautiful because it's got these like blues and grays and sharp blacks and sharp whites. Like, the contrast is heavy in this movie. And then whenever they bring out the book is a sharp, bright red. Like, it stands out when she brings out that book.
Yeah, it's
everything's very like it seems muted, but it's also very sharp. It's so wild to see.
No, I mean a lot of horror films will use that trope where they mute colors so that the red is like, this is your thing. This is whatever it is in the story, because they want your eyes to be drawn to that item. So they purposely will mute the colors in the background.
And
also,
it is effective. Sure.
That house, I couldn't live in that house. That house is scary. How do people in horror movies live in the creepiest, scary houses where the blinds are drawn, everything's in dark? Like, one of my notes is they have really well-structured lighting, the way the shadows cross across the stairwell and stuff, but the house is creepy. How do you live there? No one lives in a house like that.
Because
how do you continue to live there afterwards?
The house is full of grief, man. It's full of depression. It's full of it.
The house is just her mind.
But that's the thing is, like, after all of it's done, the house kind of changes. It becomes more vibrant. It becomes more saturated in a way.
A little bit. I was.
But that's after the basement's locked.
Of course. Gotta lock up your demons, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the best lesson, to just lock your demons in the basement.
And feed it.
I feel like that's pent up damage that's going to come out later.
Right. You still acknowledge it, though. You still acknowledge the fact. That's at the very end. There's a whole lot of other movie to talk about.
The big thing, the big note I took was, I want that dog Bugsy. That was my main takeaway. Because then,
the cute dog.
I have this line that says, if she kills the dog, I'm done. And so, spoiler, she kills the damn dog and I am done. That's my most hated part of this movie.
As soon as I saw
the drawing of that, I'm like, oh, it's totally gonna happen.
Yeah.
Gosh, for sure.
It's totally gonna happen. And it did. I'm like, oh man. Okay. That was a cute dog.
It was a
super cute dog. Oh my god. It made me and my wife hug our dogs afterwards. We're like, oh, it's okay, we love you.
Should have been the kid. Oh well.
Oh my god, dude.
In the remake, maybe.
The kid didn't even care that the dog was dead. He saw it and he shrugged his shoulders.
So, oh, okay, I guess our
dog's
dead.
That showed how horrible the kid was.
The kid found a way to use that moment to get away from his mom.
And he also had no grief for stabbing his mom in the leg.
He had no grief at all.
I think he has some struggle, internal struggle, like, I'm just about to stab my mom in the leg. Like, show something. I don't know.
Because she's choking him. She's sitting there choking him. If you had a knife in your hand, yeah, I'd stab my mom, too.
No, she stabs him before she starts choking him. Literally, she's on her knees, and she's like, oh, it's okay. And he's like, surprise! Yeah. That was like some Chucky stuff.
I don't know. It was just odd.
Speaking of odd.
Shout
out to that vibrator scene, which... I have no
idea. Oh my god! I forgot about that scene.
Editor or director approved that and then kept it in.
Guess you gotta show she's lonely. I don't know.
It's her trying to find intimacy in any which way she can, I guess.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Gratuitous vibrator scene.
Yeah. All right. I knew the kid was gonna walk in. I'm like, all right. Yeah.
Well, of course.
Walk in?
Yeah.
Right.
And then that follows up with a fun edit where they go to bed on one side. Each side, and then they wake up in the morning and they switch sides because they didn't have the continuity. They brought in like Dan and David to direct that sequence of the movie.
Oh wait, I thought they directed the whole film.
They might have,
not just that one scene. Okay.
This was before Game of Thrones season 8. They worked on the Babadook.
That's what it was. Before we get too much further, I want to still note like the first 30 minutes that I was talking about. One of the notes that I had written down. And I think the reason why I really didn't like it wasn't just because of the acting. It really was what is commonly referred to in film as the mise en scène, which is the mess in the scene, how the scene looks, how everything fits together in the scene. And for whatever reason, it just didn't work for me. I think it came down to the muted color palette and the way the camera work was done. The lighting, it just was off. It didn't have quite that nice, you know, chiaroscuro lighting effects that other films have.
What did you feel about the movie?
Off.
The movie Requiem for a Dream.
Very visually kind of over the top at times.
Okay.
I mean,
because
I
that's
saw
how
film
I
when I was like 18, 19.
Right. I got the feels of Requiem for a Dream, where it's like super wide angle, like super close when you know, certain things are happening, or like a super close up of the eye and the pupil expanding,
or
you know, the close up of the water droplets, like little things like that. I'm sitting there going, this is Requiem for a Dream. But I also liked Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, I think Requiem for a Dream was a better film, but I can see that too. But it was more
totally
it was just
story.
More the whole aesthetic of the beginning of the film. I just didn't care for. Just kind of bland. I don't know.
It felt like they didn't process the film. It feels like they shot it and
like a gradient
they just
issue.
Released
There's
it.
Some...
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's what it's I noticed right at the start
saying
when
that.
They,
I'm like,
they arrived.
It looked beautiful. It looked so pretty.
No, it looks like homemade film. Like, I thought it was trying to be Blair Witch Project or something.
No. Blair Witch is pretty bad in terms of homemade, but yeah.
That's shaky cam, but in terms of processing of the film, they didn't do anything with this film.
No, they didn't. They didn't process it much at all. Which isn't always a bad thing if you have a good cinematographer or, you know,
that's
DP
true.
Behind the camera.
Roger Deakins
behind the camera and be fine.
To jump back to the movie, though. They read the book and everything like that. And then the mom, rather than throws away the book, she puts it on her armoire. I'm like, dude, you find a book like that in your kid's closet, you get rid of it almost immediately.
I don't know. My note was, book wasn't scary. So... The book
you didn't find it scary?
There's like a dozen lines. It's not scary at all. It's like one of the least scary books ever. I would have not even thought about it twice.
Oh, the last line is "You'll wish you were dead," and it gives me chills even talking. I don't know. It was still a creepy, creepy book. It's a creepy, creepy book.
There wasn't enough character development in the book for me to be creeped out.
I like it.
Oh my god.
I don't know. Babadook didn't really have much of a backstory.
No backstory at all. He's like, I hate you and I want you dead. It's like, come on.
Yep. I don't get it. Fast.
Okay.
And then the last lines of the book didn't rhyme. See, the book gets scarier once she reads the second half.
Well, once the book comes back to her.
Yeah, the empty pages are actually scarier than the filled pages.
What the heck's going on here, man? Where's the other page?
Well, so, okay, let's jump back to it. The boy starts screaming upstairs in the bedroom, and she's downstairs cleaning dishes or something, and then all of a sudden, does she see the Babadook at that point at the neighbor's house, and then the boy screams upstairs, and the armoire falls on him?
It didn't fall
and that's
on
where,
him.
Right.
It didn't fall
over.
On him?
No.
It fell
no, he's
over.
Standing in the room, yeah. I wish it did fall on him.
I'm
I
pretty
remember
sure, because he was curled up in a ball and he
no,
kept
I
screaming,
that
don't let him in, don't let him in, don't let him in.
Yeah, that's why
so
he
didn't fall on him.
Yeah, I think because he saw it in the closet, he might even pulled it down just so it didn't come in, because now it's facing the floor.
Right. So, and then she takes the book and starts ripping the pages out, and then she throws it away in the trash can. And that then starts leading into more of the creepy stuff, where the book comes back all taped up, all back together with new pages at the very end.
It's interesting you brought up the dishes, because she literally, the dish breaks, but it broke before it hit the sink. It was awesome. I had to rewind to make sure that was actually true.
Oh, come on, Australia.
You know what? I should have just had you guys choose a movie, because.
Yeah.
It's okay. Okay, so, anyways, you know. So, when the book does come back to her, she gets the knock on the door. She goes out there, and nobody's at the door. So, I mean, you're already. Yeah, you get the horror creeps or whatever. It's like, it's the Babadook at the door. And then she closes the door and walks away. And then she slam, slam, slam. Like, that's a little scarier. She goes out there and finds the book or whatever. And that's where she finds all the new pages. And then she goes and burns the book. Now, at that point, she then calls her sister and says, hey, I think someone's stalking me. And the sister's like, F off, I don't care about you, whatever.
This is after the party, too.
Oh, yeah, the party where, well, I guess the sister would be pretty upset.
Yeah, so if for the party, literally, she already said that, so the sister says, my daughter wants to do a princess party this year, and she doesn't think that, I don't know what the kids did.
She doesn't want Samuel to show up.
Sam, that's it. I already forgot.
Sam. Are you sure?
Yeah, it's Samuel, and they call him Sam. I wrote it down. Because I said, Sam, super annoying. So I figured that was a good note. But yeah, so he still ends up going anyway, and he sits on his mom's lap the entire time during a little girl's birthday party. And so then they finally goes out to play, and they're in the treehouse, and the little girl says the awesome line that your dad died so he didn't have to be with you. I mean,
right? She's like 5 years old.
Yeah, seriously. She just turned 7. You're throwing that out to another kid. And so he pushes her and she breaks her nose. That was a well-deserved push.
It was. I was happy. I'm like, yes. Best moment of the film.
Yeah, the sister and the niece are just terrors, though.
Yeah.
And then all of the sisters' girlfriends, while they're all opening their poshy little party gifts and stuff like that, are, oh, dude. I volunteer with sheltered women. Oh, and, you know, these type of things happen. Is it really? Anyways, yeah. it was awful. They're terrible people. But all of that happened the night after the kid finds the book or the armoire falls, the closet falls or whatever. And so the mom's like, don't talk about the Babadook. And so the kid just kept
non-stop
talking about the Babadook. Yeah. Yeah. So the kid was being annoying, but he was hiding out in the treehouse trying to get away from people because they were like, hey, you're annoying.
I do also like the big zoom out where you see what the crux of the entire film is. Literally, he picks the book and she's like, we shouldn't read this, and he pouts. So if she actually was a self-respecting mom and said, we're not reading this damn book, there's no movie.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Done.
When you look at the cover of the book, the cover is called Mr. Babadook, and it's got the scary shadow of Babadook. But right once you see that, you're like, yeah, I don't think so, son.
And he's spelling Mr. M-I-S-T-E-R. You know there's some stuff going down there.
Down under.
Sinister.
All spelled out. You know, bringing up that scene in the treehouse makes me realize that I don't think whoever wrote the screenplay for this had ever been around a child before. Because, like, the writing for these kids, like, nothing seems like what a kid would actually do or say. Like,
no.
Nothing.
She would just say, haha, your dad is dead. It wouldn't be, or like, this
simple, yeah.
visceral
like,
attack on his mental psyche.
Yeah, or the niece wouldn't even show up because she's got all of her other friends at the party. Why would she want to go bother her cousin?
Yeah.
Right. Why would she care if he's in his treehouse?
Yeah, it doesn't matter at all.
It's definitely
so
weird.
So anyways, I was getting, what I was getting to was, so the, what is the mom's name in this?
Who knows?
I have no idea.
I don't know. So don't the know. Mom is talking to her sister, hangs up.
Somebody's
and here's
Anne.
The funny thing. I know that the...
I think it might be the daughter.
It might be, because I know that the sister's name is Claire, because the mom picks up the phone rings again, and the
Claire's
mom picks up the
Australian
phone
name.
and goes, oh, Claire, and then you hear all these clicking noises, and then you hear Babadook.
Oh,
duck,
so
duck.
I said Babadook noise wasn't scary at all. Did you guys act like I thought it was stupid and goofy? I might have chuckled.
No, it was ridiculous. I thought it was funny. I'm like, I thought it was like scary movie. Yeah. Like, what the?
It wasn't so much the
Maybe
noise
just
for
me. Pepto Bismol or something, you know, a good Tums.
For me, it was the thought of the Babadook being on a landline calling her up. Or on a cell phone. So that was like, that was, for some reason in back of my head, I'm like, oh my God, he's got himself a cell phone plan. He's probably got Boost Mobile.
Yeah.
You know, something he can throw away.
Where
really
you
soon.
At?
Where you at?
Do you like scary movies?
Oh my God.
But that was as probably, unscary as the Babadook noise was, I do have to say the clothes at the police station were, that was one of the best sequences just in terms of like
fun.
A horror thing.
Yeah, it's like right behind them. It's like in the background. Simple. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they do the simple stuff, it's nice. It works.
Well, but they do that little simple stuff throughout, like having the Babadook show up behind the neighbor while she's doing the dishes type of thing.
Yeah,
like
that
little
stuff.
Little touches that if you're not looking, you're not going to see it.
Right.
You know, so but throughout the movie, the presence of the Babadook becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah, where
so now we're to the point where she actually sees him.
Okay, so is that where
the
we
door
are
opens, the creepy movement, the missing frames, the where he kind of looks like that Man in the Moon type of like 1920s movie for unknown reasons, because mm-hmm. she's watching those, so it looks like she fell asleep on the couch and is just dreaming and it's entirely manifested. But regardless, if there's something, literally, you see a door creak open and something streaks across the room, how can you just put the covers over you and just sit there?
I'm not gonna
anyone
lie.
Anyone on earth.
No.
No. He would, well, Alex, like, I would.
No. Dude, that, okay, I'm 100% gonna admit this. That actually scared me. So, the first time I saw this movie, I watched it with my wife, she was my girlfriend at the time, and my roommate, and we're all watching it, and it's like midnight, and we're watching it, and that scene came up, where scratching on the door, it's Bugsy, okay, oh, come in, Bugsy. Which, by the way, how come Bugsy didn't bark when the scary thing came in? Anyways, so she shuts the door again, and then there's more scratching on the door. And then the door opens on its own, and then you see the shadowy come into the... Okay, I'm getting chills even talking about it because it's creepy. So the first time I watched it, we actually turned off the movie and said, yeah, this is kind of creepy. We're going to save this.
No,
because
then that sits with you. You got to watch the rest of it and see how dumb it is.
Of course, nope. Like, I was in such a, like, suicidal, like, state of boredom. I was like, oh, all right, do the jump scare. Come on, just do it.
Jump scare, and that's the thing. The next day, during my lunch break, I turned the movie back on, and I was like,
okay.
I turned it off for this? Because when he's crawling on the ceiling, one, let's go back to hiding under your covers. You're absolutely right, Trevor. Nobody should ever hide under your covers if something scary's in your room. I keep, no joke, I keep a machete next to my bed.
Nice.
Nothing's creepy crawling on my ceiling without that machete being in my hand in seconds.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did not sneak up on Alex.
I got a good story about the machete. I thought someone was breaking into my house one time.
Uh-oh.
Do you mind taking if we beeline it for a second for the story?
By all
beeline
means.
It's probably like 2 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden I start hearing these noises in like my living room area, like in the other room. I'm like, holy God, holy something.
Sorry, something.
Holy something, Batman.
I'm editing myself because I definitely said words. I grabbed the machete. And I'm in my boxers, and I'm screaming in my house, get the F out of my house, coming in, and I'm running around the house, practically naked, waving a machete around, and
visual.
It turns out it was my wife. She was throwing up in the bathroom because she got sick from food poisoning, so it sounded like someone was in the house, and then I hear this meek little voice in the bathroom go, it's just me. And I'm standing there with a machete about to just murder
poor
someone.
Wife. Ugh. She's like sick in the toilet puking and you're screaming around the house with a machete.
But she knows she's gonna get protected in that house if someone tries to break in. So
fun fact.
Yeah. Or she'll die.
That's right.
I don't know.
That story is better than the Babadook.
Anyway, so
now she has the full-on possession kind of idea, and she, once you're possessed by the Babadook, you forget the rules of the road, that when things are out of control, you just press the damn brakes. You don't keep driving and slamming into people and just swerving through lanes. Just press the brakes. You can't move forward
driving.
If you're stopped.
You're talking. Are you talking about the driving scene, or
yeah.
are you talking about mentally?
Well, I guess both, really.
Both?
Yes.
But yes, the driving scene.
Yeah.
Well, and then she runs into the guy, and the guy's like, oh, what are you doing? You could have killed someone. You got your kid in the car? And then she just backs away.
And leaves.
And then putters away. And it's like, hold on. She just left going maybe 25 miles an hour. That guy could have
film is
easily
weird, like,
just
not in
gotten...
a good way.
Well, hold on. And the reason why she did that is because, one, her kid's screaming in the back of the car, and then she sees the Babadook climb onto the top of her car.
If you think that anything also is on the roof of your car, slam the brakes.
Yes.
She needed to just slam the damn brakes.
Yes. It'll fly off.
Oh, so... Yeah.
He comes tumbling forward. You see that it's just the sister dressed up.
And then you drive over her. Yes.
Okay. Oh my God. Okay, where are we going now? So the
Well, now we get to the fun sequences where she's in the tub fully clothed and she has the son come in.
I'm sorry, we totally missed a part where CPS comes to the house because the kid has been taken out of school.
Oh, yeah.
And CPS asks, hey, Sam, how,
just thinking about this.
How,
yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Hey, Sam, how are you doing? I'm a bit tired from the drugs Mama gave me.
All those people came in was just to give side looks to each other. Like, that's all they offered. They seemed like they were on some SNL skit of, like, parental guidance.
It was wild stuff. Anyways, okay, now where were you at?
So, yeah, she's in the tub fully clothed, and then he comes in, too. And I just put, being in the tub fully clothed is cool. And then when she goes to the sleep after that fun tub party, she brings a violin to the bed. And I don't know where she got the violin. I don't know what bringing the violin to bed means.
Oh, you didn't catch that? You didn't catch that from before?
That was from the dad downstairs when he was setting up, like, the picture of his dad, like, as the coat and the hat.
Oh, cool. That must have been when I was looking at my phone because I was bored.
Yeah, it was brief.
And the kid had all of his music sheets and stuff like that down on the floor. Like, the father was a musician. That's pretty much all that was.
Oh, I didn't see any backstory, so I didn't know.
Right.
That must have been in because some of those weird, so like, brief. Weird edits where all of a sudden just some random stuff is happening.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if I could ever watch a movie with you guys.
No, you like Andy.
I'm devoted to a movie once I press start.
Trevor, we watched Predator together.
We watched The Predator. We watched that
I ripped it
Predator
apart
movie.
The whole time.
But you know what? I yeah, okay. But I give myself to these movies sometimes.
Okay.
Please.
Well, we do have the best line in the film. If you're really that hungry, why don't you go and eat? Blank.
Blank. We're a family show, so we don't say bad words.
It's a match game question. You can come fill in with your own response.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah.
But that was so good because that was the first time that she snapped at him because he's so annoying. Mom, I'm hungry. Mom, I would have said the same damn thing. I don't need to be possessed by the Babadook to say that.
Nope.
Well, hold on. That's not the first. She snaps at the kid a lot. Like the kid,
not like that.
At the
though.
Very
That's a
no,
different...
not at like that. But like at the
Usually
very
it's
beginning,
a sweet
where the
snap
kid's
where
hugging
she holds
her.
His wrist really hard or something.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So she's. I hope other people watch the movie after our discussion and go and make their own decisions. Anyways, there's a lot more movie to go.
Yeah.
I read their Amazon reviews and yeah, they're all like, don't listen to the 1 and 2 stars. They don't know what they're talking about. This movie is a classic, a masterpiece. I'm like, okay.
They know.
Hey, there's different strokes, man.
One thing I do like to point out that there's no screens on their windows. And it turns out that just 3 countries in the world don't actually use screens on their window. And Australia is one of them. And people are like, well, what do you do? What? And they're like, we protect stuff. We protect the damn house like a real man. That was the joke.
Oh.
What? It's crazy. I don't know how you can live without screens on your damn windows.
No, of all the countries in the world to have a
I know,
screen,
Australia has like
Australia.
Beetles that fly that are like big as footballs and stuff.
They have spiders the size of Volkswagens. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Put screens on the door. You need like metal bars on your doors. So Babadook gets into their house really easy.
Yeah, I would have like thrown stuff at the grandma next door. I would have been like, doot. Oh, and just like look away when she looks over to see if it was me. Like, oh,
okay. But, okay, so Babadook's possessed her. Where are we at now?
Well, then, so she gives him the pills to make him go to sleep. And she literally checks his mouth to make sure he swallowed it. But she never checks his hands. Like, it
but
was the whole magic
like,
slide of the...
Yeah, slide of hand.
If you're going to care enough to look, like, if she didn't look at all, that's one thing. But to have the character go and check his mouth, there's no way she's not going to check his hands, too.
Yeah. But she's, like, in her creeptastic mode now.
I know,
like,
so Babadook would be even more obsessed to make sure that he took the pills.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Because Babadook just wants her isolated, because it's just her mental illness. She wants her all alone.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, at what point does she actually go down to the basement and sees... Oh, no, I think that's, like, coming up, where she goes down to the basement and sees the father standing there.
Yeah.
Babadook, like...
She watches the news story, where mother kills 7-year old son on his birthday, and I was like, I hope with this happens.
And then like you see her in the window and it does a close up and she's got the crazy eyes.
Yeah.
I got little chills on that one. Yeah.
And then
that is a good sequence.
We have actor dog. I love actor dogs. That dog, he did some good acting scenes right there.
Actor dogs are my favorites.
They steal the scene all the time.
There was no reason for the dogs. There was no reason for the dog to be in the movie at all.
She had to kill the dog just to not kill the son. They needed to give her something else to kill to still save the son. Right?
She could have killed all the cockroaches that were crawling around the house.
I did like the cockroach sequence because at first I was like, their budget for cockroaches must be cheap because there was only like 3 or 4. But then there was a ton. I was like, okay, they must have had a better budget.
Yeah.
Bug budget. And
they fixed the hole in the wall in a jiff.
Yeah.
That's what you need. You need a Babadook to fix holes in your walls.
He's good at repairs. That's why he kept them around. Makes sense. Okay.
So, yeah. So she's talking to the husband down in the basement. It's a manifestation or something, whatever. And he goes, just bring me the boy. And earlier in the movie, someone said, the boy, talking about her son, saying the boy this, the boy that. And she said, don't call him the boy. Call him Samuel. His name is Samuel. So this was kind of a callback of the Babadook calling him the boy. And that's where she's like, kind of gets a little realization like, wait, you're not real. Hey.
No, yeah, I mean, it was. Yeah, I believe that was a callback to the scene where the headmaster of the school called him the boy.
So, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's what kind of snapped out of that. But yeah, it was kind of weird that her husband was an Italian soccer star. It was just odd. It was an odd character choice or acting choice. I don't know.
Casting choice.
Kind of threw me. Casting choice for sure.
No, Prog's just saying he was really good looking. That's all.
He is. He was a handsome man. I'm like, I don't think.
I thought she was a very beautiful woman. No, they did not make a cute kid at all. No, sirree.
No.
No.
The kid's not related to either of them. He's adopted.
No. I don't know what he is.
For sure.
He's the like offspring of the Babadook himself, but.
It's like, the dingo didn't want that baby, so they brought him over to their doorstep. It's like, I ain't that.
Oh, this is going to be a lot of making fun of Australia.
Sorry, Australian fans. 50
minutes of it. Yeah. Okay, please continue. Where are we at?
Well, then we have the Edward Scissorhands sheen on the Babadook's hands, which I was like, why? It was just a weird sequence.
I'm not sure. What part are we talking about?
It's the part right after she sees the dead dad and then before she kills the dog.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because that's when they're doing a lot of light flickering and camera jumps. Like, there's almost like 2 minutes straight of just quick cuts. Oh, my God.
But,
a little bit of chop suey.
But, I mean, it's a horror movie trope.
I know.
Lights all of a sudden flicker and... I don't know. What did you guys think about when you first, like, or when you finally see, like, the silhouette, like, sliding across the floor coming towards her or whatever?
I was bored.
She just talked to it
and that defeated it.
Oh, no. That's way at the end. Because she goes through a whole sequence where she kills the dog, she tries to kill him, then the kid Gulliver travels, or no, hold on. The kid then home alones the mom, and then Gulliver travels the mom until she starts grudging all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the ending is pretty wild where the mom's like trying to kill the kid and running around with a knife. This is where her acting skills were tops.
Oh,
this
is where
seeing the anger.
I wrote, why the teeth pull? That was weird.
Thank you. What was that about?
I don't understand why the entire movie,
she's sitting there rubbing her tooth and she's like, screw this. I'm going to pull
this
thing out.
Does the Babadook infect your tooth?
Yeah.
Because he goes into her mouth at the very, like the first time she sees him. She has a dream sequence where she goes in the mouth.
She had the tooth thing before the Babadook. She just sat there and just like,
Oh, I always thought that was the Babadook in her mouth.
No. She had that thing throughout the entire movie. And then at the end, she's like, screw it, I'm pulling it out myself.
It's funny, though, because you brought up that whole attack sequence. So the kid plans all that Home Alone stuff, and he couldn't tie a knot. Like, this is when you need, like, knot tying school and stuff, because literally she didn't even do anything, and they just fall off of her wrist. She goes like this, and they're just completely gone. He did, like, a shoelace tie knot.
It's like, okay, bunny ear around the cave.
And then she also does that door kick. You know how strong you have to be to do a door kick? That showed how possessed she was.
Dude, that was
she
wild.
She was up on her haunches on the door frame. And
yeah, just swinging through like.
Like when she does the sliding across the floor thing too, like, and then she starts screaming. So funny backstory on that, where she's screaming at the kid and saying, "Sometimes I wish I could just take your head and bash it across a brick wall to where your brains just are split." Turns out she was screaming at a man who's on his knees, like pretending to be a kid, because they didn't want to traumatize the kid, the actor kid. So that was a little fun little backstory that in my research happened. And the kid responding to everything, like crying and responding, is them saying, "We're going to take your favorite toy away. Oh no, I'm taking it away." And then he would act to that. So I thought it was funny because I'm imagining like this adult, like beer belly, cigar in the mouth type of like cartoony person who
it's like
she's
some
screaming
stunt
at.
Guy behind the
yeah.
scenes.
Yeah, that's what I'm imagining. Anyway,
it's like, all right.
So she So at this point, she pukes up. Well, hold on, has she puked up the Babadook yet?
That's right next where I said, "Power of love from sun creates nice vomit." And then that's when we get into the whole raptor sounds for no reason.
It's the power
it's
of
the power
love.
Of
it was totally
love.
Just power of love. I mean, I hate power of love. That
well, because she's choking him. She's choking the life out of the kid.
I know, and she needs to finish
out.
It. Finish him.
And just nice, caresses her face. "I love you, Mom."
And you know what, Alex? That is a really good Scott Pilgrim reference there, too. Using the power of love to save the day. Very nice.
Moving
good
on.
Job, Trevor.
But yeah, those raptor sounds were cool because I didn't know the Babadook was part raptor.
And I even asked my wife, I look over and I'm like, "I know this sound. Why do they keep using the same sound?" And yeah, sure enough, it's like Jurassic Park.
Yep. And it's cool stuff.
I think that was Jurassic Park 3, though.
And then that's the part where the Babadook is free. So she vomits him out. And then so he's free and he grabs the kid to take him up the stairs and throw him against the wall twice.
Okay, so that was weird, too. That why it because it was the it was like watching the poltergeist again, watching the kid be like by a ghost.
But no, he's totally knocked out. He's tossed against the wall twice. He's 7 years old. He's out for at least a while. He's probably injured really badly.
Well, you would think so, right? But then the Babadook takes the form of the husband again.
Yes.
And then he says the line, like, "I think it's going to rain." And then all of a sudden his head slices in two and falls to the ground, which creates that grief all over again for her to almost let the Babadook back in because she's grieving even at her most at this point.
Right. And then yell at Babadook for it to go away. That was my note.
Yeah. That's all. Yeah.
That's all you have to do. The book didn't include that. That's the last rhyming couplet.
Dang it.
That last page got ripped out by the previous owner.
Mm-hmm. But here's the she yells. So it's yelling at her. She's yelling at it. And then it falls to the ground. Like just.
Yeah.
Like almost like you take your clothes and just drop them. Like that's what it seemed like. And then she goes over and tries to touch it. And it's sitting there and you can hear it whimpering. It's laying on the ground whimpering. Is that. Did you just make the Babadook cry at that point?
And
that's
is
what
the
I'm
house
thinking.
Destroyed? Like
right. The walls are cracking. The ceiling is falling in while they're screaming at each other.
All I wrote is that she dresses like that. She's literally it's a whole mirror sequence where she dresses in the Babadook outfit and it's all played out within her head. It's like a Mr. Robot thing where Elliot's holding himself against the wall.
Oh, most likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was picturing that part and I was like, that would be a fun movie to watch.
That would be kind of fun.
Can you imagine? She's all dressed up, doing stuff to herself. I can't be like, what the hell is going on?
So at that point, she goes up to the Babadook and touches the hat. The Babadook then springs up, and you are looking POV as the Babadook looking at her. An extremely bright light flashes on her with a wind fan tunnel, whatever, and then shoots down to the basement, and the basement door locks. By the way, the Babadook flies down the stairs, but she's able to keep up with it the entire time and able to lock the door to the basement. I even wrote that down going, well, that was kind of dumb. Like, there's no way she could have followed that thing down. And at that point, you should be cradling your knocked out kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Babadook's more important. The kid, she practically wanted to kill him for like the past
pretty much
however many days. It's like, whatever.
But she stood up to the Babadook. She stood up to her grief. She stood up to her depression.
And she started gardening. She has a new hobby.
Oh, did you guys notice this? Because I didn't notice this the first time.
The black rose?
What was under the black rose?
I didn't notice.
The dead dog.
Oh.
They buried the dog.
I'm glad I didn't notice it the first time.
Well, and I didn't notice it the first time either. And I was like, wait a second. Why are they lingering on this dirt? And there was like white tufts of dirt. And I'm like, oh, that's the dog. But I didn't understand why the dog had a black rose growing above it. I didn't get that.
It was like a stylistic choice.
I guess so.
That's what it seems.
So while they're gardening and everything is nice, vibrant and saturated colors, it's beautiful. They're finding worms. Ooh, worms. Ooh, that's a good worm. And they love each other. Everything's great. And then they're in the house with a bowl of worms standing in front of the basement door. And the kid, I couldn't believe the kid even said this. He goes, when will I be able to see him again? Or something on the lines of that. And I was thinking, why would you want to see him at all?
That kid is, he's going to need a lot of therapy.
Oh, for sure. So then the mother takes the bowl of worms down to the basement and gets screamed at by the Babadook. And then she's like, it's okay. It's okay. Shh.
That's all you do to calm the Babadook.
And it calmed him down, and he whimpered into a corner, and he ate his worms.
Yeah.
Kind of like owning a cat.
Yeah.
And then roll credits. They're happy. They're smiling. They're all lovey-dovey. It's adorable. That's the end of the Babadook.
I need a horror movie with a bad ending. That's what I was hoping for with these. Because foreign films would be more risque to do something like that.
Right. You know, anyways, we should talk about some of the fun backstory stuff, like, for instance, the fact that you bring that up.
So I don't know when the movie was on Netflix, because sadly it's not on Netflix anymore, but they mislisted it to be under LGBTQ like friendly shows.
Yeah.
And so the Babadook is
a
whole like gay icon because of that temporary mistake.
Dude, it's hilarious. And here's the best part is the LGBT community 100% embraced it. The fact that there were tweets out there saying, oh yeah, I totally understand the Babadook. He hides in a closet. He likes to wear trendy hats. I wish I could find those tweets because they're brilliant. They're so fun.
Oh, that's good.
But I love the fact that like that was something that was embraced in a way. And I think it actually helped me because I like I said in the beginning, I do get scared in movies, but I'm sitting there thinking, hey, if the Babadook's gay, I'm gay friendly. I'm down with the gays. It's cool.
Oh, Alex.
Do you guys want some trivia on this movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, please.
In Hebrew, Babadook means he is coming for sure.
He's coming indeed.
The director of The Exorcist.
Yep.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's when the director... Babadook was first introduced. She let him in.
She named it Babadook. The director of The Exorcist.
That's the Babadook Duke Duke part.
Knocking on heaven's door right there. The director of The Exorcist said of this film, "I've never seen a more terrifying film than The Babadook."
He must not go to the movies very often. That's it.
He created one of the most terrifying movies.
I didn't know that movie's kind of goofy. Right. I don't know.
The Exorcist?
I find it humorous.
It is. I mean, it's dated. I
mean, it's very dated. Like when she pukes and it's like that whole
time.
Jet stream, and it's hilarious. I laugh every time.
So this
it keeps
movie...
getting funnier every time I see it.
Every time I see it.
Sorry.
Love that.
Had to do that.
This movie is actually based on a short that the director did a long time ago called The Monster, or Monster. And I actually looked it up on YouTube, and it's very similar. Like, it's a little annoying kid, and the mom gets annoyed with the kid type of thing, but there's no, like, backstory of husband dying and all that stuff. But the kid is, like, running around with this weird-looking toy that he's, like, smashing against the wall and stuff, and so the mom takes the toy, throws it in the closet, and then she starts hearing scratching on the closet door. She opens it up, sees, like, a Babadook face, like, wah! And then she closes the door, but then she, like, keeps it around, and, like, she feeds, like, pretty much the same at the end of the movie. She keeps the Babadook in the closet and feeds it and stuff like that, so... It's pretty wild. I mean, there's a lot more things.
So is the story actually Australian folklore?
No. She made it up herself. It's all, yeah. And when I say she, I mean the director, Jennifer Kent. Yeah.
Good to know.
Pretty cool
stuff. That's what I didn't know. But I wonder if Jennifer Kent deals with her own demons and forms of depression and bipolar disorder and... postpartum depression, various forms that could take it manifest itself, or even the greater scope of Australia's limits in supporting single mothers.
Well, her other movie is The Nightingale, and The Nightingale was about what is it? It's about I watched this whole thing on it, but it's about The Nightingale is it's pretty much about a woman who is pretty much like treated terribly by her master or something like that, and like just beaten down and stuff. A totally different tone than this movie, and I believe they even shot it in like a 4:3. She was going for an old style look for it, but it was actually pretty. And she did this whole interview with Vanity Fair, which was fairly interesting. If you guys look it up, or viewers, if you look it up on YouTube, you can see the whole thing. Another fun thing on YouTube is people have made music videos of the Babadook. There's a couple songs out there about it. And honestly, the music videos, the Babadook in the music videos are scarier than the Babadook in the movie. Like the look of
yeah.
All right.
They should have made a scarier Babadook with a scarier voice. And I think it would fit with the jump scares and cuts they tried to establish.
What the?
Yes,
I agree. Let's do an American remake of this.
And just have this terrifying, like, Babadook. Yes.
Well, and that's another thing that the director said, is that there will never be a sequel, there will never be a prequel, there will never be another Babadook ever. So, lucky for you guys, we'll never have to do this again.
Babadook coming soon.
Oh my.
Oh yeah. So guys, I think that's it.
Awesome. So I'm sure after we talked about it, everybody is trying to find this movie to watch themselves. They're like, damn, that's good.
Honestly, I kind of hope people do watch it, because I would love to hear what other people have to say about this movie.
Agreed.
There's people that love this movie, so you know,
there's people that love every movie that's been ever made.
Oh, of course. On IMDb, it's got a 6.8 out of 10, and that's out of almost 200,000 people. Not great, but...
That's not bad for IMDb. So.
Yeah. There you go.
I had fun with it. Alex, thanks for the recommendation. I wouldn't have watched it otherwise.
That's true.
You're welcome. Prog?
That's all I got.
You're not even gonna... come on, Prog. I'm still saying you guys need to... I still say people need to watch it. Just, it's interesting. It's very interesting.
It is interesting when you think of the bigger scope. You can get bogged down in the details and kind of the mistakes here and there, but the overarching narrative and themes, I think, are worth watching. And the third act with the way the actress, the mom, pulls that off, that's pretty
incredible,
good.
Man. It really is.
I would say everything to Trevor's point.
Nothing to Alex's point. Cool, let's go.
Shout out to 8-Bit Geek for hosting Horror Fest. We hope everybody has an awesome Halloween. This is essentially our secondary hero's take on that, even though The Babadook might not be the scariest movie around.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Be sure to follow at Secondary Heroes on all forms of social media. To everyone listening, we hope you enjoyed, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, Prog out.
Celebrity deaths that kind of just slipped under the radar. That is your clickbait of the week.